Better turn this on. The Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs and Space will now come to order. Lois, will you please call the roll?
Chair Wright.
Here.
Senator Cruz.
Here.
Senator Broxson.
Here.
Senator Gaynor.
Here.
Senator Harrell.
Here.
Senator Pizzo. Senator Torres.
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you very much. Please, let's please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll ask our esteemed veteran Torres to please lead us in our pledge. All right, ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder to please silence all your electronic devices. Anyone wishing to speak before the committee, please complete an appearance form and give it to the administrative assistant. Should you select to waive your speaking time, your position will be read into the record. Okay, so I think we have Senator Hudson is here, ready to rock and roll, so we're going to have you. We have tab 3, SB 352. Senator Hudson, you're recognized.
Good morning, committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 352 revises the prohibition on a person misrepresenting himself or herself as a member or veteran of the United States Armed Forces. The bill adds to the prohibition on unlawfully wearing a military uniform, medal, or insignia to the act of wearing the item for professional or political benefit, and it comes with a third-degree felony or a fine of up to $1,000. That is the bill.
Are there any questions on the bill? Senator Pizzo? No?
Yes, sir.
No exceptions. Were you planning on going as a general?
Not now.
He is a general.
Senator Torres, you're recognized.
Where are you going on that one? The question, I've seen that we have, I've seen a lot of on the news, people impersonating police officers wearing a uniform or riding, you know, like they were. I was wondering, would this fit into this, or is there a way of getting that into this as well, people who are impersonating a law enforcement officer?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd be happy to talk with you about that and possibly putting it in here. This was specifically military as we filed it, but we're certainly open to any discussions on that.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Chair Hudson. I think this is a great bill. I'm just curious about how often do we think this is happening? I'm sad and kind of astounded to hear that this is actually happening and people are impersonating officers.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, the bill was brought to me by a House member, Representative Sabatini, who said people were using this to increase gains in employment. And he had documented evidence where people were saying they used to serve and were getting a, you know, a higher benefit than someone else who didn't serve, and it came back that was not true. So he filed the bill and asked me to help him out on it, and I think it's a wonderful cause. So we do have documented evidence of this.
I'd like to just add that in my particular area, I have caught on more than one occasion people pretending to be military veterans around Christmas time, taking donations for charities that apparently they think their pocket is the charity. And I've at one particular Walmart, I went and got the manager, and we kicked him off the property. I asked a veteran one time, how can we, what's a knockout question? And they said, the best knockout question is to ask them, where did you go to boot camp? And I asked them that, and they said it was at the fort. It's like, okay, I don't think you're real veterans, so... So it does happen. It's sad that it happens. So we have a late-filed amendment. There's a late-filed amendment, barcode 485112 by Senator Hudson. Is there any objections to taking up this amendment? Seeing none, show the amendment introduced. You're recognized to explain your amendment, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's simply a technical amendment that clarifies everything I just spoke to you about.
Any questions on the amendment? Okay. Are there any appearance forms? No? All right. Is there any debate on the amendment? Okay, seeing none, Senator Hudson, you're recognized to close any amendment.
I'll waive close, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All in favor of the amendment, say yay.
Yay.
Yay. Opposed? Amendment is adopted. Okay. Moving right along. Back in the bill is amendment. Is there any questions now in the bill? No. Are there any appearance forms? No. Any debate? We're moving right along. Senator Hudson is recognized to close in the bill as amended.
I would close, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Lois, please call the roll on CS for SB 352.
Senator Broxson?
Yes.
Senator Gaynor?
Yes.
Senator Harrell?
Yes.
Senator Pizzo?
Yes.
Senator Torres?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Yes.
Chair Wright?
Yes. And by your vote, CS for SB 352 is reported favorably. Thank you, Senator Hudson.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you,
Thank
Committee.
You. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to turn to tab one. This is the exciting part of this job. How about that? Major General Eifert, please come forward. This is going to be tough.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you have to raise your right hand. How do you think about that, huh?
Yes,
do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Sir, you are recognized to address the committee.
Thank you very much. Committee Chairman, it's great to see you again. Thank you for the opportunity to introduce myself and discuss with you my credentials and ability to lead our Florida National Guard. This is my 38th year as an officer in the United States Air Force. Almost 30 of those were spent in the cockpit of fighters, and that experience has forged my methods and approach to getting things done. That's how I'm tactically wired and how I procedurally accomplish goals. Simply put, fighter pilots thoroughly plan missions and then enthusiastically execute them. And then afterwards, we humbly and seriously debrief each other with three objectives: to accurately define or describe how the mission went, to determine the root causes of errors and failures that occurred during the mission, and then to implement corrective actions. This is how I've operated through my entire career, and I think it's important for you to know that I value objective feedback that will help my organization be more successful. Since assuming command last spring, I've been consistently communicating my leadership philosophy, which can be summarized as right, ready, and relevant. I'd like to briefly summarize that philosophy for you now. I want our guardsmen to operate with integrity in everything we do, and in addition to doing the right thing, we do it the right way every time. I'm fully committed to a transparent organization that treats all of our members with the utmost of respect. I want our organization to be ready for whatever our state and nation asks of us. I want to grow our formations and capabilities to meet those needs. Additionally, I want our individuals to maintain their readiness through physical fitness and technical training, and we need to ensure our units are fully manned, collectively trained for each soldier and airman on the tasks that are most basic to their responsibilities. Finally, I want to ensure your Florida National Guard stays relevant. It's vital that we modernize, innovate, and recapitalize infrastructure, facilities, and equipment in order to maintain relevance on tomorrow's battlefield, on land, in the air, and now in space. It's been my honor to serve as the Adjutant General for the past 9 months, and I hopefully look forward to many more months ahead. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have for me now, Chairman.
Thank you very much, and first of all, I want to say thank you for your service. We certainly appreciate all that you do. The one thing that I am particularly concerned about with our National Guard is our infrastructure, and you mentioned that specifically in your opening comments. Can you give us a little detail on what your plan is? Of course, it depends on the legislature, and the resources are certainly a part of it, but do you have a long-term plan for restructuring and rebuilding our infrastructure in the state of Florida?
Yes, sir. You're recognized.
Yes, ma'am. As I came last to this committee, it was to discuss the legislative budget review and the funding for our armories primarily. So we have armories. Some of them are as old as 90 years, and the average old age is about 45 years old right now. So that requires significant upkeep, and those armories are kind of the centerpiece of our formations as we're spread through 55 different of the 67 counties in Florida. Each of those locations has an armory that is essentially where all of our soldiers come to meet to perform their drill weekends and then prepare themselves for their overseas taskings as well. So with the age of those armories comes the responsibility for us to be able to fund to continue the maintenance of them. My biggest concern is that if you look at an industry standard of about $5.71 per square foot as just to maintain warehouse space, we have been funded last year at about 71 cents per square foot, and we need to start recognizing that to maintain that infrastructure and those facilities, we need to start spending money to be able to just keep the air conditioners working and the roofs from leaking and the foundations from crumbling. So those are the things that are my biggest priority with the state legislature is continue to communicate the fact that if we want to be able to house and maintain these tremendous soldiers that we have throughout the state, we have to give them facilities that are worthy of this of the work and service that they provide. So I will continue in future years, including this year's budget request, to take account for the cost that it takes to maintain those facilities and hopefully solicit understanding and support from the legislature to fund those. Does that answer your question, ma'am?
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Any other questions? Well, that was easy. Are there any appearance forms we already asked you? And there aren't any there, so, sir, you're recognized for any closing remarks.
No, sir, I have no closing remarks. Thank you for your time.
All right.
And I'm happy to serve the Florida National Guard.
Is there a motion from the board here to recommend confirmation? Senator Torres makes a motion. Seconded. Senator Cruz. All right. Senator Torres moves, recommends confirmation of Major General Eifert as Adjutant General of the Department of Military Affairs. And Senator Cruz seconded it. Lois, please take the roll.
Senator Broxson?
Yes.
Senator Gaynor?
Yes.
Senator Harrell?
Yes.
Senator Pizzo?
Yes.
Senator Torres?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Yes.
Chair Wright?
Absolutely, yes. It is my honor to advise you that you've... Yes, sir.
Could we just make this unanimous?
Yes. Yes. Would you like to vote? Would you like to vote?
If we all second it or make a majority.
There you go. Let's do that, sir.
I'd like him to
know. Let's do that.
Yes, sir.
He has our support.
Yes, yes, he does. Thank you very much, sir. You have been confirmed by our committee in a favorable vote. Thank you so much.
Thank you for what you do. Thank you.
It's an honor to have you here. That's a good idea, Senator Gaynor. That's why we have you here. Yep. Okay, we're going to take up tab two, Senators. SB 96 and Educational Opportunities for Veterans by Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this bill came to me, and let me explain to you. It provides basically 100% service-disabled veterans as determined by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, are eligible to receive an award for the remaining cost of tuition and fees at state universities and any school in the Florida college system. And it really covers what I call the gap, and let me explain that to you. My office received a call from a veteran. He served in Iraq in the Army Reserve. He served active duty in Iraq for 13 months and then was injured and is a paraplegic in a wheelchair. Yet this only qualified him for 60% of the GI Bill. Now, currently, he is 100% service disabled, as found by the VA, and per statute, his children or his spouse are eligible for education assistance at 100%. Yet he only qualified because of his months of time in combat for 60% of the GI Bill. So he would like to attend Santa Fe College and obtain an IT degree in order to keep working and support his family. So he is medically and honorably discharged and 100% disabled and unable to return to active duty, yet they do not qualify him for 100% of the GI Bill. He only qualifies for 60% because he only served 13 months in combat, and these are the exact cases that the bill is designed to help. It covers the gap of the disability so that these men and women can go on to college, obtain their degrees, and support their families on their own. That's all they're asking for. So this bill would require the state of Florida to cover the other 40% or 20%, whatever the disability percentage gap is. So that essentially is a bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Uh-huh. Are there any questions on the bill? Yes, mm-hmm. Questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Cruz, I'm fully in support of the bill, and I want to help you just cut through some red tape. Presently, the GI Bill, is it just a voucher that you give to the registrar's office at a university or at a college that you want to go to?
Chairman.
Yes.
Not sure exactly what the actual process is, but there is. I don't know if they.
I don't want our disabled veterans to have to go back and forth and say, "Oh, I'm eligible for 60%," and then, "Can I have the other four?" So just, I'm fully in support of the bill. We're just asking out of curiosity.
I'm not sure how they assess the actual disability relative to the GI Bill. So I can get those answers to you. Not positive.
Any other questions? No. Senator Harold?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And having done the Purple Heart Bill back in the early 2000s, where we provided for full scholarship for anyone who had a Purple Heart, a combat-related injury, they would automatically receive free tuition and fees in any state university. This is slightly different, and I wanted to really understand the difference. The injury that the individual receives to be disabled would not have to be combat-related. Is that the difference I think I'm reading here? Any injury that would be incurred while on active duty, while serving, no matter where you served, you could be serving stateside and be in an accident on a military installation in a training endeavor. Mm-hmm. You would then be eligible as opposed to a combat-related injury. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair. That is correct.
Thank you. And a follow-up to that is when you say they're on active duty, they do not have to be active duty in a combat zone. They would only have to be on active duty. Is that correct?
Right. Mr. Chair, that is correct. In the case of this gentleman, it was based on his 13 months of combat duty. That is what he conveyed to us, that it was based that his eligibility for the VI for the GI Bill, it was based on the months that he served in Iraq. But now he's on the reserve, so the situation may have been a little bit different for him.
Follow up.
Yes.
I just want to clarify that if you never serve in Iraq, if you never go overseas, it's not combat related. It's the amount of service, not whether or not you are in combat. Correct.
You recognize?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Senator Braxton.
Yes. I think we are for this. My question is the physical on it. Is this a mandate back to the college itself or university that they have to subsidize this, or we have an allocation back to them to cover the cost of this? And do you know what the physical is on it?
Mr. Chair. We don't have an exact fiscal on this right now, Chair Boxen, because we're not positive how many veterans will take advantage of it. We haven't completely identified the number of those, the percentage of disability, and the percentage of those that would go to college now because the gap in tuition funding would be covered.
That would be covered where? You know.
Oh, I'm sorry. It would be covered out of our – it would be an allocation from us. We wouldn't put an unfunded mandate onto the universities.
Very good. Thank
sorry,
you.
Sorry, Mr.
That's
Chair.
Okay. Yep. Are there any other questions? Appearance forms. Yes, we have appearance forms. All right. So we have Natalie King, education opportunities for veterans.
Will the United Way of Suncoast represent the Mission United team support the bill?
Excuse me. Thank you very much. Supports the bill. Mr. Dan Hendrickson, there he is. Tallahassee.
Legal Collaborative claims in support.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Dan. And our one and only Mr. John Haynes, Major Haynes.
Wave in support, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Welcome. Any debate? Do we have any debate on this bill? No? Okay. Senator Cruz, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This bill will help our service members that have sacrificed so much for our country. Supporting them when they leave active service is critical and crucial in a state like Florida, a home to so many veterans. Our disabled veterans face many more challenges when they return home, and this bill simply empowers those individuals so that they may receive an education without the barriers and with the support of their families. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Cruz. Lois, please call the roll on SB 96.
Senator Braxton?
Yes.
Senator Gaynor?
Yes.
Senator Harrell?
Yes.
Senator Pizzo?
Yes.
Senator Torres?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Yes.
Chair Wright?
Yes. And by your vote, SB 96 is reported favorably. Okay. We're nearing the end of our committee already. I wanted to ask our members, have any of you seen this yet? I'll see that you get copies. This past year, Danny Burgess and his group at FDVA did what they called a forward march. I think they went to either 7 or 8 areas in the state of Florida. I participated in 2 of those, and we had veterans from those areas come in and meet and discuss over their needs, what they'd like to see better, what they think is going well, and they compiled it all into this beautiful report. And I think you'll find it interesting reading. The 2 pages that have my photographs, I'll be happy to sign for you. But other than that, yes, sir.
If I could, personal privilege, we have someone in the audience today that is a distinguished member of my community, Captain Keith Hopkins. And Captain was the CEO of NAS Pensacola. As you know, we honored them yesterday for the tragedy that occurred December the 6th.
Yes.
But Captain Hoskins is one of the, we've had a long line of great people serving Pensacola. This gentleman did it with great distinction and honor, and he has chosen to stay in Pensacola. He's now the CEO of Navy Federal, which is probably the a premier example of what Florida can do to bring jobs to Florida. Eventually, they will have 10,000 jobs, high-paying jobs in Pensacola. And, Captain, thank you for being here. Thank you for your service, and thank you for serving on my committee, and look forward to helping you accomplish your goals in Pensacola. God bless you, and God bless you for being here.
Very good. This has been a great committee today. A lot of good stuff going on. Is there any other business before the committee this morning?
Let's change the hour.
Okay, we're going to. We'll be moving forward to 7:30 next time. So, Torres, I bet you would like to move to adjourn.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. No objections. Seeing none. Show the motion adopted. We are adjourned.